Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I are discussing sowing into the kingdom of God rather than just paying a bill. We turn to Exodus 24:8 and relate how God ordered Moses and Aaron to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifices before entering the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 10 tells the born-again believers that the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice lamb, is sprinkled on our evil consciences. It's so important that you learn the ways of God. Don't be presumptuous when it comes to the things of God, and above all, don't take the anointing of God for granted. God requires your obedience more than your sacrifice. You can receive the two CD series, The Blood Covenant and Why Pay, Why Not Sow, for a gift of any size to Call to Freedom. Now let's join the program.
Well, this is Darren. We have this unusual show called Darren Live. My wife Barbara is here with me co-hosting, and we're going to have a wonderful show today. We have some things to share with you out of Scripture that we believe will really bless your lives. And we always try to say we're going to sow this broadcast into the hearts of the listeners. Now, we're not after your ears as much as we're after your hearts, because if the Word of God gets in your heart and it takes root and you protect it until it matures, you're on your way.
That's right. I'm excited about tonight, Darren, because you're going to be giving a teaching at the Doubletree on Quebec and Martin Luther King Boulevard. And it's a teaching that a lot of people have heard before, but many of our listeners are giving, and they're not getting harvest from their giving. And I believe this teaching tonight, and I hope you're going to do it again tomorrow morning. It's on PowerPoint. It's something that you can see on the screen as well as listen with your ears. And I believe it's a most important lesson for our listeners to come attend the meetings and learn a little bit about harvest, about sowing, about reaping, and about the harvest they can expect.
Well, we have some brand new revelation, and you know, the Lord gave that to me on the plane as we were going to San Francisco the other day. And you know, I like that. I used to say, you know, as soon as the wheels are up in the belly of the plane, my heart and mind seem to kick into a real state of revelation knowledge. And that happened, and I wasn't even asking. I was just sitting there in the plane, And there's not a whole lot you can do when they get you buckled in and they tell you, you know, the seatbelt sign is on, so stay in your seat.
Well,
so,
and you're a little bit more free of all the distractions
right,
that you
right.
have in this world when you're in your vehicle and you're going down the road and you're having to be so aware of the surroundings. And,
or you're at the office.
That's
you know.
Right. And on the plane, you're just free to allow Holy Spirit to teach you.
Well, the Lord has given us some revelation that will change our life and change the ministry. And one thing I can say to you, instead of paying the radio bill, we're now sowing it. And in fact, when we brought the check to the station this week, I handed it to the station manager, Mike Treem, as we do. I guess we're doing that every other week now. We thought, well, instead of doing it every week, we'll do it every week, every other week. Well, anyway, when I handed him the check yesterday, I said, we're sowing this into radio. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason we're sowing that is we want to sow the message into our listeners, and obviously we need the vehicle of radio to do that. So that was a real change, and the Lord spoke to me on the plane, and he said, why don't you stop paying the bill and start sowing the seed?
Well, and that's what we desire for our listeners,
that's
Darren,
right.
that you begin to recognize what you're writing checks for. And as you write a check to Darren Live or to the Home of Refuge, you're saying, I'm sowing into the ministry of radio, or I'm sowing into the mission field. I'm sowing into the hearts of the little orphans. I'm sowing
right.
into their futures. And as we sow, don't say give and don't say pay bills anymore, but sow. I'm sowing. And we're going to have, I believe the teaching tonight, tomorrow night and tomorrow morning are going to change a whole lot of lives.
Well, it's some of the best stuff. And I'm talking now totally from a personal perspective on what I'm about to say. It's some of the best revelation knowledge the Lord has ever given me. And he's given me a lot, and I praise him for that, and I gave him all the glory. All the glory goes to the Lord. But what he gave me this last 7 to 10 days is just nothing short of supernatural. And we don't hold out on our people. We don't hold out on our family. Our listeners are our family, really. We don't hold out on you. When God gives us something, we give it. We turn right around and give it to you. And we don't try to put a copyright on it and say, well, nobody else can use this. But God has given us some things that even yet he won't let me put out on the air or in the meetings. But it's percolating. It's, as some would say, it's marinating. And it's going to come out really good. You know, when God gets it, the whole thing, whole concept into our hearts, why then we'll dish it out to y'all.
Well, I know, the night before last, we were lying in bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. Both of us, I guess.
So that was the morning before last.
The morning, yes. And, we were talking about, you had, received a profound revelation on Nadab and Abihu and also on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And we were talking there, and I was saying, oh, Darren, you've got to teach this on the air. And I believe there's just so much in this teaching, and many of you are reading through the Word with us, so you have gotten a little familiar with Nadab and Abihu, who were the eldest sons of Aaron, and who were anointed as priests with their father. Now, their father was the chief priest. He was the head priest. And he was the only one to go into the Holy of Holies after the Ark of the Tabernacle was built. Once a year, this chief priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And then in the New Testament, you know that Jesus is our chief priest. But here in the Old Testament in Leviticus, and we start with chapter 10, Nadab...
No, wait a minute.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait,
you're
going to
start with Exodus.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
I got to set this thing up right here.
All right, pardon me.
Usually it's me running off, and here it is you today. I don't know about that. But here we are. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 24. And this is one of my favorite teachings, and I've only taught part of this in the past. But if you take some concepts out of Exodus 24, the covering of the blood so that the people could be in the presence of God, and go over to Hebrews chapter 10, and it talks about sprinkle blood on our evil consciences, and you can kind of tie that in. But here it said, then God said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. Here it is a second time. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words.
Can I just say here that as our listeners read through these Old Testament books, they realize the importance of blood, and especially in Leviticus 17:11, the life is in the blood. So here right now, we're seeing a ceremony that is carried on through the New Testament. And Darren, when we say you cleanse yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet with the blood of Jesus, we actually don't take real blood, but we take that energy from the blood that Jesus gave on the cross, and that's what we cleanse our spiritual part of our being and physical with.
Well, we teach people to say, all right, I take the power, the energy of Jesus' blood, and this is a spiritual concept.
Yes.
And we say, all right, and put your hand on your midsection. That would represent your spirit. I cover my spirit, and then on top of your head, I cover my head, and I cover my whole body with the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And I am saying and declaring that I am protected from the evil one.
That's right. And also the ceremony of communion has great
right.
parallel meaning with these chapters that we're reading right here.
Now, the old-timers would say, you're pleading the blood of Jesus. Yes, we are.
Yes.
Because the blood is our defense against the evil one. And unfortunately, a lot of the modern churches today, they're taking all the songs out of the hymnals about the blood. They're not preaching about the blood, but that's where our power is. And when that blood was shed on the cross, it was the Lamb. It wasn't an animal. It was Jesus.
It was Jesus. And we got a strange call from New Mexico one time. They didn't leave address or anything. They said, well, was it a quart of blood in our ceremonies? And we just wondered if that was enough. I'm going, whoa, who did we get in contact?
What
I mean, who contacted us? But we realize that that blood of Jesus was shed, and we can incorporate it today through prayer. Prayer is so important, Darren. But anyway,
well, the concept,
it started here.
The concept behind here in Exodus 24 is that without the sprinkling or the covering of blood, you could not enter the presence of God.
That's right.
So let me read verse 8. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Now, God has made a covenant with us, and we need to know what that covenant is through Abraham, down through Jesus, who was the seed of Abraham, to us. We are heirs of this covenant, of the blood covenant. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw, I find that very important, they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Yet he, meaning God, capital H in the Bible, and you need to know that when it's capitalized, it's not talking about a man, he's talking about God. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they beheld God, and they ate and drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments which I have written for your instruction." Now, what was going on here was God was saying, now, I didn't stretch out my hand to strike you dead because of the blood covering. Now, they ate a meal prepared by the Lord God, and it was served to them on the mountain. Wouldn't you like to have been there?
Oh, I would have, and to actually to be in his presence. And we know now we are, I have felt the very presence of God, and Holy Spirit is now in us, and we can feel God. But to actually be there on the mountain with Moses, I cannot comprehend.
No, Barbara, with your understanding of the Old Testament, tell us about the office of Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. How did that work?
Well, they were anointed of God, and Aaron had anointed not only the people here, but he had been anointed, and also he had anointed his sons to do the service of the sacrifices, the offerings before God. Only a few people who were designated in the tribe of Levi were to offer the sacrifices and the offerings to God as came before him.
I would say it in addition to what you just said. I would say they were anointed, or they were empowered, mm-hmm. or they were gifted. They had an enablement that the ordinary man didn't have outside of the priesthood. And they also were consecrated. They were taken out of the ordinary and put in the extraordinary or the supernatural office of a priest, right?
Well, and that's why today we have scriptures like in Timothy that says, if you are a teacher, you are double accountable to the Lord. And that's not only in a detrimental way, that is in a way that you are right up there. God speaks to you as a teacher of the gospel. Right here, Moses and Aaron were on a level, not to put them as more important than the people, but as a level of authority. God has certain levels of authority, and people have to respect those levels of authority.
Well, where I came from, they'd say you better make cotton picking sure you do it right.
Okay. I guess so.
But
so
you know,
it's
when...
amazing here that Abihu and Nadab were right there with their dad and with Moses in the presence of God.
Now, Barb, I want to say something about the modern-day ordinations. Many people say, well, have you been ordained, or would you come to my ordination service? Well, that's fine if the people understand what we're talking about here for that ordination. If you're being separated out from who you used to be, and that ordination or consecration or that anointing is going to come on your life, I'm interested in your ministry.
Yes.
If it's just a ceremony and you don't have any idea what it means, you just have a certificate on the wall that on a certain day in a certain church, a certain somewhere, you got ordained.
Yes.
Well, you better have the fireworks to go along with that. Or when you meet the devil, he will do like he did to that one in the book of Acts that was pretending in the name of Jesus, and the demons stripped their clothes off and sent them home naked.
Yes, that's
right. Mean, now that may not physically happen to you, but what could happen to you spiritually could be a whole lot worse. If you go messing with the things of darkness and you don't have the authority of God, and that comes by a consecrated, set apart, ordained life. And if that's part of your ordination, wonderful. If it's not, I think you're treading on thin ice.
Yes.
I think you're out there messing around, and you'll probably get your lunch.
Well, here and also in the New Testament, Jesus said a student is not above his teacher. Sometimes we get students that think they know it all, and especially in junior high, and you get some freshmen and sophomore in college that think they know it all. But as Jesus said, a student wasn't above his teacher. Then we see the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, were still under their father's covering, who was the chief priest here. And we see that in Leviticus 10 now, as we begin to read in Leviticus, that these two boys, they decided to do something, go before the altar of the Lord on their own and actually put into their censers, into their little fire pans, a strange incense, it says. And this is, strange means deviated or unrelated to what they were doing.
Well, so. Let me say this, though. Let me go back to verse 8 of chapter 9.
Okay.
Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you."
Yes.
Now, he was saying, and of course, if you get into the glory of the Lord, and I believe if you see the glory of the Lord, your life will never be the same. I believe that that light is so strong from the Lord, it's going to go clear through you.
But don't you know people that, okay, you've been a teacher for a while, and people that have gone out and tried to do some of the things that you've done, and it's like the disciples came back to Jesus and said, well, especially in Mark 9, Jesus, we couldn't heal the boy.
Right.
And they were trying to do things that maybe were beyond their what they had been taught at the moment. And they needed more teaching on it before they went out on their own to do it.
Well, you need to know the ways of God. In fact, mm-hmm. When you mention this, I think about a young man that came up to me in a meeting one time, and he says, I know just as much as you know, and I can do what you can do. I said, how long have you been born again? He said, what's that?
Oh, wow.
We've got
a
young man that's headed for real trouble here.
Yes, and I see that in the sons of Aaron here.
Right.
They thought since they were around the anointing and since they had actually seen God up on the mountain, boy, they were important. And they were going to go out and do something on their own, which really brought great ramifications.
Now,
disaster.
Part of the underpinnings of this teaching go like this. You can be in the presence of God, and these young men even heard the voice of God on the mountain. They heard the voice of God. Now, some of you say, if I could just have some confirmation, if I could just hear God's voice in the flesh, if I could just hear him through my physical ears. Well, let me tell you, we're going to show you in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's not enough. And the message of the Bible is a heart message, not something you hear through your, or see through your senses. And these young men had that great opportunity to have seen God with their eyes. It said they saw God and they heard him.
Yes, and I believe a little bit of why they did what they did in chapter 10. We need to read the last two verses of chapter 9. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting in verse 23 of Leviticus 9. They went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell down on their faces. Now, we know a lot of people that want to see. They got to see the spectacular. They got to see it to believe it. And I believe when Nadab and Abihu saw this, they said, wow! That was like fireworks to them. It's like the 4th of July. And they said, wow, we'd like to see that again. So here in the first verse of chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange or deviated or it was apart from what God had ordered, that kind of offering. It was not God's will. They took that strange offering and fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. I don't believe that they knew that that was going to happen, but they went against God's orders. They went against his orders.
Well, see, I think the whole village, you might say, all the people saw the presence of the Lord come down. That had to be a dramatic moment when they saw the glory of the Lord there at the tent of meeting.
That's right.
But here, you know, these young men thought perhaps through pride or perhaps through arrogance or certainly through ignorance.
Presumption, yes.
We're going to do this and we're going to show, you know, maybe how special we are. Or we're going to, what Dad can do, we can do.
We want to see the fireworks. Well, just like your sons when you were they were teenagers. Why did they make those pop bottle rockets? And why did they make the things in the juice cans and blow out the back end of their pickups? I mean, why did they do that? They wanted to see the fire. They wanted to see something great happen.
They want some action.
Yeah,
they were making homemade bombs is what they were doing.
Well, that's what these two brothers
wanted.
And,
you know, because Dad's prayers, it didn't get the hands blown off, their eyes poked out or something else like that.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, folks, you never know what your kids are going to do. And you can say, well, dumb kids, you know. Well, let me tell you, you need to protect them with the Holy Ghost anointing. You know, or they're not going to end up as adults with all their fingers and both eyes and all that kind of stuff. Because you never know what kids are going to get into these days because they're curious.
Yes, that's right.
And these boys were curious. And they were my sons. and they're still my sons.
Your sons.
And they still have both eyes and all 10 fingers.
But, yes, they do.
You know, I believe that we need to really impress on the young people and on people that are around us. Listen, don't take the anointing for granted. And when you're around somebody that operates in a strong anointing, don't assume, don't take it for granted. And make sure that you honor that, because in dishonoring that, the one you dishonor is the Lord.
And we see the evidence of that
right.
in this. And also, if you go over to Leviticus 16, verse 1, it's a little bit more description of what happened. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. Now, they approached the Lord not with...
They didn't follow the ways of God. The
yes.
ceremonies. They were dictated ceremonies of how you approach the Lord.
Yes.
Well, they were kind of manufacturing some ideas on their own there of how they could bring down the mighty power of God. Maybe they were show-offs, but, well, they were preacher's kids. That's what they are. And preacher's kids always have a problem. I'm one of them.
Yeah, I remember a story that my first husband told, and this actually happened. A man, he was a mockery, and he stood up before the church, and he said... He was a trumpet player, and he said, this one is for God, and he blew the trumpet. This one is for Jesus, and he blew the trumpet. And as he blew the trumpet saying, this one is for the Holy Spirit, he fell dead in the church. And I believe sometimes we go with such mockery and blasphemy,
right.
and we try to undo the things that God has called us to do. We need to be obedient more than anything else. Darren, in 1 Samuel 15, the Lord says, I require obedience more than your sacrifice. I want your obedient heart, your contrite heart, more than all that you can give me through all your works. And we're getting here where these boys, they went out and they did something that was against God, and immediately the retribution of God fell on them. I want to read the footnote of Dr. Zodiades. In the Zodiades Bible, it's on page 148. It says, this is one of several examples in the Bible where sin is punished quickly and directly by God. Exactly why God intervened in each case is not clear, but the stated reason here is for the preservation of his holiness. Apparently, such immediate correction was necessary here at the beginning of Israel's life under the covenant to impress upon the people how serious obedience was to God. A similar instance happened in the early church when Ananias and Sapphira died immediately after lying to God. And it had a beneficial, sobering effect upon all who heard about it.
Okay, let me just rattle off the seven spirits of the Lord listed in Isaiah 11:2. It is the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and then the Spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, revelation, knowledge, Spirit of might, and fear, or we might say reverential fear of the Lord.
Yes.
If you become irreverent, you're in trouble with the Lord God, because He is holy and He demands that respect and that awesome placement of who He is in our lives. And we need to know, you don't take this lightly. Don't mess around. That's what these young men were doing, was messing around. Well, we have another example here in the New Testament, and I think we better keep moving, or we're not going to get all this in today, and we want to make sure you get it. But the story of the Transfiguration in Luke 9, and it says, in some 8 days after these sayings, it came about that He took along Peter, John, and James, and might say His board members, and went up to the mountain to pray. And while He was praying, the appearance of His face became different, and His clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with Him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who were appearing in glory, were speaking of His departure, which He was about to accomplish at Jerusalem.
Yes.
I think that word, about to accomplish, is very important. Now, Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw His glory and two men standing with Him.
They saw the two men, Elijah and Moses. Oh, can you imagine, Darren?
I shook them up. And it came about, as these were parting from Him, speaking of the two, Moses and Elijah, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Now let us make three tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not realizing what He was saying. And while He was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Now, we're talking about the same cloud that appeared at the tent of meeting in the Old Testament.
Yes.
The cloud of the Lord. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is My Son, My chosen one. Listen to Him. Now, they had seen an expression of God's presence. We might say a theophany on the earth. I don't use that word very often, but here God was showing Himself in a cloud. But out of this cloud came the very voice of God, and Peter, James, and John heard that voice. And God was saying, This is My Son, and some translations say, My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But it talks about in those concepts. Now, these men, natural men, who'd been running around with Jesus now heard the voice of God the Father.
But they still accepted it and received it in the natural, Darren. They were saying, oh, let's make a booth for him. They were thinking with their carnal, fleshly, natural minds. And the Lord was saying here, listen to him. That word listen has the very, very same meaning as the Old Testament Shema. And that the Jewish people in Deuteronomy 6:4, that's the most important verse to the Jewish people. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. And here the word listen means to obey. Listen with your mind. Listen with your heart to obey, with the intent to obey him.
See, now, to me, that's a predetermined decision. They said ahead of time, God, and the people were saying this to Moses, whatever God tells you, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. We'll carry it out to the letter. Well, people say that frequently today in our hearing. Oh, yeah, bless God. Oh, yes. I'm obedient and I'm cool and I'm spiritual and all this. But sometimes when the going gets tough, they don't keep those commitments. They don't keep, they have become idle with their words, idle words. And God says, I'm going to judge your idle words.
Well, they're hasty. They're casual in their coming to the Lord. They're hasty in their coming to the Lord. Do it for me quick, Lord, one more time. And when things are going well, they don't come to the Lord.
See, here we have Peter shooting his mouth off there on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, he shot his mouth off when Jesus said, you know, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Oh, Peter said, no, I'll go with you to the death.
Yes.
And he turned right around, the same man that heard the voice of God on the mountain, and he denied Jesus.
That's right. But, oh, was he mighty in Acts after the baptism of Holy Spirit? He did learn. Here, Darren, you showed me in verse 44 of Luke 9, Jesus said to his disciples after this great miracle of the demon coming out of a little boy, let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. Now, he had already warned his disciples, probably for a couple years, my intent for being here is to go to the cross. I am here on this earth to go to the cross. And so here we see, let these words, guys, you've been with me. Let these words sink into your ears. Hear them. Ah, hear them. Hear the words of the Lord.
Well, even over in the book of Revelations, it says, he who has ears, so let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, here in essence, God was saying the same thing through Jesus. Listen up, guys. Pay attention. Now, in the King James, it would say, verily, verily. In my Bible, it'd say, truly, truly, I say unto you. Jesus was drawing attention to the concept and the power of words.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy